Today we're tightening a roughneck-style transition in Ableton Live 12, built for that 90s-inspired darkness, jungle pressure, and old-school DNB energy. This is not about making the section prettier. It's about making it hit harder. We want the transition to feel sharp, rude, and intentional, like the track is turning a corner in a tunnel, not just drifting into the next loop. Think of this as DJ tools work. We're shaping a section that sounds heavy in the studio, but also makes sense in a mix. So the phrasing needs to be clear, the low end needs to stay controlled, and the transition needs to carry tension without losing that grime. Before we touch any devices, start by deciding where the transition actually lives in the arrangement. In this style, an 8-bar phrase is usually the sweet spot. If the track is already pretty stripped back, you might get away with 4 bars. If the drop is dense and full, 8 bars gives you room to breathe and build pressure properly. Place the transition at the end of a larger section, like the last part of a 16-bar or 32-bar phrase. The key idea here is energy contour. One thing should be thinning out, darkening, or becoming less stable, while another thing gets more focused and more aggressive. That contrast is what makes the handoff feel powerful. Now let's build the drum side first. Take your breakbeat or layered drum section and start tightening the last 1 or 2 bars. You're not trying to kill the groove. You're trying to reduce the amount of information so the listener feels the pullback. Use simpler if you want to chop and re-trigger slices, and then shape it with drum bus and EQ8. If you want movement, add auto filter as well. A good move is to remove a few kick hits or ghost notes in the final bars, while keeping some hats or shuffled elements alive. That way the rhythm still moves, but it feels like it's getting leaner and more dangerous. Try a little drum bus drive, somewhere around 5-15%, and give the transients a small boost so the edited break still punches. If the break is fighting the sub, carve some low end with EQ8, maybe starting around 120-180 Hz, depending on the sample. For the filter sweep, don't go for a bright EDM-style rise. That's not the vibe here. Instead, darken the break, automate the cutoff from something open, maybe 8-10 kHz, down toward 2-4 kHz. That makes the whole thing feel like it's disappearing into shadow. It's subtle, but it really works in this style. Next, shape the bass so it leans forward into the drop. A roughneck transition feels good when the bass doesn't just stop, it threatens to stop. That tension is everything. So on the bass track, automate a low-pass filter down as you approach the handoff. If it's a Reese or a stacked bass, keep the sub anchored in mono and let the mid-range get a little more restless. You can use operator or wave eatable if you're designing the bass, but even if the bass is already printed, you can still use stock tools like saturator or roar style grit to bring out some snarl. A few dB of drive can help the bass speak even as the filter closes. Utility is useful here too. Keep the sub width at 0. The low end should stay solid and centered. A really effective move is to let the sub dip out for a beat or even a half bar before the drop, then bring it back hard on the downbeat. That tiny moment of absence makes the return feel bigger. In DNB, perceived speed matters as much as actual note density. Sometimes just shortening the tails and tightening the note lengths makes the phrase feel twice as urgent. Now add the rude interruption. That's the roughneck part. This should be a short stop, not a full breakdown. Maybe have a bar, maybe 1 bar. Mute the kick for a beat. Let a snare or rim shot carry the phrase, and cut the bass for a very brief gap before it returns. That little hole in the rhythm is what creates the impact. Use utility for quick mute automation if needed, and if you have a noisy layer, try gate to make the stop feel more abrupt. A short reverb throw or filtered echo tail on the final hit can make the handoff feel more dramatic without smearing the mix. One good trick is to mute the kick and bass for the final quarter beat at the end of bar 7, then hit the full drop on bar 8 with the low end restored. That kind of timing is classic and very effective. Now let's add the atmosphere, because this is where the 90s-inspired darkness really shows up. Don't use a clean white noise riser unless you want the transition to feel too modern and polished. Instead, use filtered ambience, reverse textures, vinyl noise, rain, room tone, or a gritty sampled stab. Run it through auto filter, reverb, and echo. You can even add a little redux if you want some bit crush texture. Start the atmosphere muffled and low in the mix, then open it slightly across the last 2 bars. Keep the reverb dark by high-cutting the return so it feels like a shadow, not a wash. If you want an extra touch, reverse a small ambience clip into the downbeat. That little inhale before the drop can feel huge when it's done right. A good reminder here, leave one element emotionally constant. Maybe it's a noise bid. Maybe it's the brake. Maybe it's a sub-pedal. Something should remain stable while the rest of the section mutates. That stability is what makes the chaos feel intentional instead of messy. Next, add a fill that locks to the grid. This can be a snare flurry, a short tom run, or a chopped brake accent, but keep it disciplined. Old school energy works best when it feels human but still precise. You do not need to fill every subdivision. In fact, leaving space is part of the attitude. A good fill might have a few ghost notes, one or two loud accents, and a final pickup right before the drop. Use the velocity lane to shape the dynamics, and if you want a slightly shuffled feel, the groove pool can help. Just make sure the fill still lands cleanly on the phrase boundary. The goal is rude and precise, not overbusy. While you're doing that, keep the low end under control. This is where a lot of transitions get muddy. Put utility on the bass group if needed and keep the sub mono. Use EQA to carve out overlapping low frequencies, especially if the kick and bass are stepping on each other around 180 to 350 Hz. If the res gets harsh during the buildup, you can also tame some 2 to 5 kHz. The reason this matters is simple. Clean low-end separation makes the drop feel heavier, not thinner. The system can read it faster, and the impact hits harder. Now let's make this DJ friendly. Since this lesson lives in the DJ tools world, the transition should work as part of a playable arrangement, not just a studio moment. Make sure the phrasing is clean. The fill, stop, and drop should land on obvious 4-bar, 8-bar, or 16-bar boundaries. If the track is meant for mixing, leave some sparse drum-only space in the intro or outro so selectors have room to cue and blend. You can also build a cleaner loopable outro with just drums and a bit of atmosphere. That gives the track more utility in a set, and it keeps the transition from feeling isolated. A proper DJ tool should sound hard, but also behave predictably in a mix. Here's a useful pro move. Resample the transition once it's built. Bounce the fill, stop, and atmosphere together. Then chop that audio and layer it back in. That often gives you a more unified and gritty result, and it can make the whole handoff feel more like one physical event instead of separate parts. Before you wrap up, listen to the transition at low volume. If it still reads quietly, that means the rhythm and structure are strong. If it only works loud, you may be leaning too much on sub weight and not enough on phrasing. Also, leave one slightly ugly detail in there, like a bit of crunch, hiss, or brake residue. Old school darkness usually sounds convincing because it's a little imperfect. If you want to push it further, try a micro stutter in the final bar, or a fake out drop where everything pulls down for one beat before the real impact. You can also alternate the drop in on a second pass by delaying the bass by a 16th or an 8th. Tiny variations like that keep repeated sections from feeling copy-pasted. So the big takeaway is this. The roughneck transition is about controlled tension. Tighten the brake without flattening it. Shape the bass so it pulls into the drop. Use short stops, dark atmospheres, and precise fills. Keep the sub clean and mono compatible, and make the whole thing work like a tool a DJ can actually use. If it sounds a little rude, gritty, and forceful but still balanced, you're in the right zone. That's the 90s-inspired darkness right there.